You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in internal medicine and pulmonary medicine and advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder.
That's
Hi, Dr. Emder.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Great to have you here. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
Excited for the show.
You're always excited for the show. But you're looking good in your purple and your matching belt.
Thank you.
Which, can we say, is that a Prada belt?
A Prada belt, yeah, but it's two for the price of one. I won't tell you the price of the belt, but it flips from like gray to blue. How cool is that?
That is cool. The reason I bring it up is because I feel like we're always talking about some sort of vacation or holiday that you've just gotten back from, and that was a previous purchase, wasn't
right.
it?
Right. So I really have nothing to talk about because I haven't been on vacation in like weeks.
Oh, we all have so much sympathy for you.
But on Sunday, it's Vegas, baby.
That's impressive.
So I'm not sure if I'm going there to shop or to gamble. Just joking. Yeah. I actually have a...
Just joking. I'm going to shop.
I'm going. I have no money to shop with. I've just paid my taxes.
So, April 15th.
Yeah, it was painful. But we're going to a meeting, a training, CME training. So when I come back, I'll be smarter.
Oh, nice. Then you'll have something to talk about.
Yeah. So check with me in a week. I'll have something fun to say.
Okay.
But that for today, what should we talk about?
Well, can we talk about my finger? Because
yes,
I can't. So, you know, we've moved. I'm in a new house, running around the house. And by the way, let me get your opinion on this. So I've been couch shopping all over the place. And where do you really find a good couch? You know, everybody's telling me, oh, you can get them custom made. But really, you go to these places where they have them custom made. And it's more of this is the fabric you can get, and you can get it going on this side or this side with like the chase. But that's it. It's not like a total custom couch. So I got kind of fed up with it and I purchased everything online.
Bad idea.
Everything online.
That like is a bad idea.
From all different websites. Yeah, but it's slow. It's slowly coming in. So it's kind of like Christmas, you know?
Okay.
But with that said, so the first couch, we ordered like two couches. One that's like the big main couch and then the other one for like a living room. One came yesterday, and I will say, I think I did well. Like, it was a great, nice leather couch, and it has the nail heads. It's super cheap because these places don't have showrooms, right?
Okay.
It's just, like, online.
But is it comfortable when you sit in it?
Yes.
Or is it just
no, no, it is. It is. It's comfortable.
Well, you lucked out because you can get a sofa that just...
Yeah, and I wasn't so concerned about this one. I'm really concerned about the other one, and that one should come tomorrow, so we'll see about it. But... the only problem is there's a hole in it when it was delivered, but I think the delivery guy did that. And you could get that anyway, right? Like if you order it from a place down the street and they come and deliver it and
it's going to be that way.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, they're going to replace it. So that's just practice and patience.
Hole in a cushion.
In the arm.
Yeah, that's a major problem.
Yeah. Well, because it happened upon delivery.
You ever heard of a place called Jerome's?
They didn't have anything I wanted. Like, I've been all over the place.
Did you go there and sit in their sofa?
No. I just looked online. But I went to every other furniture store.
Okay.
And I'm just tired. It's so much easier to, like, click a button. I did have to do some soul searching about it, though. Like, was I prepared for disappointment?
And
the
answer
is no. So if it comes tomorrow and I'm disappointed, I'm going to be really upset.
Well, would you believe I have a sofa story?
You do?
Yes.
Okay, go. And then I'll tell you finger story, because I think we were going to talk about it.
I am a skier, we know from previous radio shows.
Right.
And I have a condo up in Mammoth.
Lucky you.
We've had it for 10 years, and it came with furniture. This sofa was the most uncomfortable sofa I've ever sat on. And I just realized...
And you kept it?
Yeah, well, because it costs money to replace it.
Oh, that's true. About as much as your belt.
And it's just that's right. And it's just a rental.
Rented out.
We rented out.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a nice quality unit.
Right.
So anyway, I finally decided, you know what, we're going to replace it.
Okay.
And we went to the local store, which we've always loved their sofas because they have this, you know, country feel, Western style, Western Sierra kind of furniture.
Good thing with like a cabin in Mammoth.
Sierra Design, Mammoth Lakes, California. Anybody interested?
Yeah.
and we've always loved their sofas. But we sat in the sofa, and this sofa not only is It's a sofa bed, so right. people can sleep in it. Mm-hmm. But it has the new foam sofa mattresses in them, you know, that everybody's raving about.
Right.
The one I wanted actually had a chaise in it, so you could really just sit
Those
there.
Those are nice.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. They say, like, you could have it on one or the other side.
Right, right. But I got nixed by the wife, because she pointed out that, number one, it was too big for the unit.
Right.
And number two, we could save $1,000. Which I could use to buy two belts. So, so anyway, yeah, we're getting the one without the shades. So,
okay.
But it has an armoire, is it? There, you know, put your
armoire?
Armoire.
So. But wait, what do you mean it has? Like, so it comes with, that would be like a wood thing.
Okay.
Armoire is like what you'd put your TV in?
Okay, this is
an ottoman.
This is an ottoman. All right.
Okay, yeah, so it's very
an ottoman.
Different.
All right,
very
so it's
different.
An ottoman to put your feet on. See,
right.
So she informed me that that kind of will take the place of the chaise. So
right, it does. Those are super cool.
So it's kind of interesting that we both have sofa stories.
We do both have sofa stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
But tell me about your finger.
I slammed my finger in a door yesterday, like full on. I haven't done it in years since I was a little kid. You know,
yeah.
So what
and
do you?
I'm getting text.
I know.
From
so
Kendra.
Instantly,
I'm extremely busy. She's sending me pictures of her finger, which, by the way, did not look that bad.
It was
and she's
so
like,
painful.
I'm dying here. Well, I think we have to do an amputation.
It was so painful. But my first thought is, if I can't handle this, how am I going to give birth in 3 months? You know, I'm slightly concerned about it. But my finger is all black and blue. I'm going to lose. I mean, I'm not going to lose my finger,
yeah,
but I'm totally
going
to lose the nail, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was throbbing. And so I called my husband and I'm like, my finger is dying. And he said, I probably have to go to the hospital and get it drilled and like release all the pressure and the blood. And that is a scary thought. Well, which is why I reached out to you asking you, is that accurate? Is that typically accurate? I mean, now that you've seen my finger in person, you're saying I didn't need that.
Yeah.
But.
So, you know, as a physician with friends, I get this all the time. I slam my finger, you know, in the door. And like, is it broken? Or, you know, and it's throbbing. And
right.
My answer is, I'm not Superman. I don't have X-ray eyes. So, you know, usually, you know, I recommend that they get an X-ray because it may have to be splinted. And then sometimes if the blood builds up, you can get this drilled because the blood, if it builds up, is very painful.
Right.
So I informed this to Kendra. So, it's me. So I said, we're going to drill your finger. She says, well, that's not going to happen.
Well,
so
then I said, along with that, we have to x-ray it to get, you know, to rule out fracture. We
right.
drill it. All of these things.
Right. So the other thing, she said, well, I won't do that. So I said, well, then ice it and call me in the morning. What do you want from me? Which is how I handle my own family when they ask me for advice and ignore it.
Really what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. And then she was concerned about how her finger is going to look after the baby's born. But I told her that everybody would be looking at her baby and not her finger. So.
And I said that was a good point. Because, I mean, I'm just coming off of a wedding, you know, and when you're getting ready for a wedding, it's always about, shoot, what is that going to do? You know, you fry your skin or something out in the sun, you get sunburn. And it's like, oh, no, that's going to ruin wedding pictures. Or, you know, my nails need to be okay because you can take pictures of my hand. So a baby really doesn't impede on that. At all. Just would like to make sure I have a hand.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a non-event for you.
Yeah, well, it still hurts and it's ugly. But
well,
okay.
You know, that said, it turns out nails are very important. They're more for just clipping and polishing. As a physician, there's a lot of diseases I can actually pick up by examining someone's nails.
No kidding.
How cool is that?
That's kind of scary to me.
So, for instance, there's something called clubbing of your nails. If you look at the end of your nail, there's usually a very sharp angle between your finger and the nail bed. And people
a sharp.
Yeah, if you look.
Okay, like it shoots out and then it goes down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people that have clubbing of their finger, that is very smooth, and then the tips of their fingers tend to get rounded.
Okay.
So that's something that's called hypertrophic osteoarthropathy.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, it's not good because we see that in patients that may have a pulmonary problem, in particular lung cancer. So,
wait,
I mean, I've had patients come in and I look at their finger and I said, you know what? You know, we need to get a chest x-ray. You know, this could be lung cancer. And we make the diagnosis.
What?
And they go around to all their friends. They go, my doctor looked at my fingers and they diagnosed lung cancer. So the point
Do
here,
I have it?
No, you're...
Oh, okay.
Let me look at your finger. Yeah, I do see you have a disease. It's called klutz. Slamming your finger.
I didn't show you the black and blue hand. I showed you the other one.
So what else? Patients with cardiac issues can also actually get clubbing. And what else? Patients with hypothyroidism You know, this is kind of a specialized keratin structure at the end of your finger. Mm-hmm. The nails tend to get soft. Really? Another disease we pick up by looking at your nails is splinter hemorrhages that one would get if they, God forbid, had endocarditis or an infection of a heart valve where they're flipping off clots. We see it in their fingers. So for a physician, the fingers are actually, fingertips, the nails are a very important body part.
What if somebody has acrylic nails?
Yeah, that's a problem. Acrylic nails are probably a no-no. Okay. And I think they tend to be out because you can get like fungal infections underneath those things.
Tell a woman that who enjoys her nails. I don't use acrylic nails.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan, but there are a lot of people.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of acrylic nails.
Right now,
and other things. So we can actually measure someone's oxygen level through their finger. But, you know, if they're wearing an acrylic nail or they have a heavy red coloring on it, it may interfere with that process. So I would say go with natural nails and, you know, just don't bite them, you know, like I do. And
you bite your nails?
Well, just this one nail. So what else?
Well, maybe we should segue into this. As we're talking about hands, we have an amazing doctor on today.
Oh, absolutely.
Dr. Brooke Ballard, she's actually she's over at Alvarado. She's one of their new...
She's an orthopedic surgeon.
Who
did subspecialty training in diseases of the shoulder right to the tip of the finger.
So yeah, absolutely. So we'll have her on the next segment, and we'll be talking to her about hands and fingers. And maybe she can look at my finger and tell me I'm not going to lose it. I just need a lot of confirmation.
And the good news is I always have some ailment I could talk about.
Yeah.
So I could talk about my carpal tunnel. That's why you have me on this show. I'm like a walking dictionary of compendium of medical problems.
Yeah. We usually have all your doctors on just to interview. What's wrong with Dr. Emder? All right, everybody. Stay with us. We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsor, Alvarado Hospital. Stay tuned.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation. Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another show of Aging Redefined. This show is sponsored by Alvarado Hospital. And my name is Kendra Vallone, and I'm your host today. Our guest today, well, Dr. Emder, why don't you?
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Emder, you're on
the
show,
I'm on the show
too.
Here. So
you
I'm Dr. Yeah. Larry Emder, pulmonary critical care at Alvarado Hospital.
There you go. You can just introduce yourself.
Chief medical officer and a jack of all trade and a good shopper. And I'm here to introduce the Dr. Brooke Ballard, who did her medical school training at the University of Illinois and came out to UCSD for orthopedic training and has a fellowship in shoulder to fingertip orthopedic issues. And she's currently in private practice both at Alvarado and Grossmont Hospital. So, Dr. Ballard, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So
and
I guess,
perfect timing.
Yeah.
Kendra ruins her finger.
I have a feeling Kendra slammed her finger in the door just for this show.
Just for a subject to talk about. I know. But so, am I going to get to keep my finger? I've shown you my finger now.
Yeah, let's talk about crush injuries and slamming your finger in the door. That's pretty
Do you common. See that a lot? Do people come to you for that kind of thing? Or is that just like get over it and move on?
We do see it a fair amount. Usually more often in the emergency room or the urgent care setting. But folks will slam their finger in the door and then come on in. And like you have, there's often a little bit of blood pooling that sort of looks bluish or reddish under the fingernail.
Right.
Now, if it's 50% or more of the surface area of that nail bed, then we will often drill it, like you mentioned. You can either heat up a pin or needle or use the tip of a Bovie and make a little hole.
What's a Bovie?
Plate. What? It's an electrocautery unit. It just burns through tissue.
Oh, okay.
Do you do a nerve block at all on the finger for like little weenies like Kendra, or do you just go in for it when like a manly guy like me just jam it in?
Well,
I would have the nerve block, but the
right nerve block's often the way to go with these folks.
Yeah,
and I can't. But see, I can't take any sort of medication because of the
you can
pregnancy.
Take a nerve block.
I can.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can take a nerve block.
Oh, well then I probably would have come in.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
I didn't know. I didn't offer that as an option when she texted
me. I almost said, "Are you at the hospital?"
It's not something you can pick up at the drugstore next door. So,
okay.
What about so fractures of the distal?
Sure, there's fractures
finger.
Of the distal phalanx.
Yeah.
What is that?
Bone at the tip of the finger, right under the nail plate.
And that's pretty common too, isn't it? With that.
Yes, definitely very common. So. Until we get an iPhone app where you can take an x-ray with your phone, then it is important to show up at some point to check an x-ray, especially if it's persistently painful for a while. But
how would you know?
Because it has to be splinted if someone has that, true or false.
That is often true.
How do you splint that? That's like the tip of your finger.
We've got some special little splints for it, stack splints. They're preformed plastic, little flesh-colored splints, and we have different sizes in the office to fit your fingertip with. The other type is an alumina foam, which just is what it sounds like. It's kind of a foam top with an aluminum backing on it, and we just trim it to size and
I've
tape it
those.
Around the fingertip. Those are pretty common.
Yeah, yeah. Very pretty. Match all sorts of outfits.
You
that
can
we
bedazzle
could
it at yeah. home.
That is such a good idea.
I was thinking, I used to be a jock a long time ago. Not really a jock, but I used to play.
Did you wear Prada belts then?
I didn't even know what Prada was then. It was usually like a rope cord for a belt in those days. But I used to play handball, and I would invariably jam my finger against the wall. So can you talk about jam injuries to fingers?
Sure. My dad used to play handball, so I stuck to racquetball.
Yeah.
My future career in mind. But
yeah.
it's tough on your hands. We used to have to soak them in hot water to get them the blood there so when you hit the ball, it didn't hurt so much.
For sure. If you want a callous hand, then definitely play handball. It's impressive what sort of force you can take. Once
yeah, I think that sport is kind of out now. I don't.
Well, that's something you do like on the playground when you're. Isn't it?
Back in Philadelphia, they used to play against one wall. But the handball, you actually use the side wall, the back wall. You use all
four
walls.
Oh, okay. So I'm thinking of handball when you are in school and you have one wall and you like bounce it, it hits, and
right.
your
so
other
that,
bounces.
You know, that game has evolved to using the same kind of court as a racquetball, but you're using your hand rather than this big racket. So it's a tough game. Sure.
It's tough. I mean, the size of your hand is pretty small. The ball is about half the size of your hand. So imagine trying to maneuver yourself around to catch that ball in it.
Yeah. So how do you handle, not a crush injury, but a jammed finger?
Yeah. So a jammed finger, it's sort of a general term, sort of a colloquialism that we use out there. But it often refers to a PIP joint injury. So if you look at your fingertip, not the joint at the end of it, but the one in the middle, a little bit further back from the nail. Often that one is the one that's injured, and there's a bunch of different air variations on what happens.
This is like your knuckle we're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Distal
just to
knuckle.
Break it down. Okay.
Yeah, one of your knuckles, the ones at the end of the finger.
Okay.
So basically, there's a whole spectrum of injuries that can happen, and often, again, it's helpful to have an x-ray, and it's important to have a good physical exam, but I certainly see a lot of folks who have these injuries. And
they never come in.
They often don't come in.
Right.
Well, we always hope for the best and think it'll get better. It's, quote, just a finger, so,
Yeah. Well, actually, I have one of those injuries. You see this distal part where it's kind of, I forgot which finger it was, where it just kind of...
Yeah, you have a little bit of a probably prior mallet finger.
Right.
A little tiny swan neck deformity there.
Right. And that, and
a
swan
neck deformity. She made that sound very pretty for what that looks
it's not,
like.
It's not that pretty. So I probably should have come in about 30 years ago and had you guys look at this rather than today.
That's right. That's right. Well.
And it probably should have been splinted, and I probably would not have ended up with that deformity.
That may be true.
So is that the downfall of not going in? Really, your finger's just going to be kind of skewed and messed up. But is there anything, does that cause anything down the line, like your carpal tunnel, or are those related in any way?
Not usually related to the carpal tunnel, but certainly you can have a permanent deformity. Basically, there's such small, intricate anatomy in the finger among all the tendons. If a certain tendon is at the wrong length or a joint heals abnormally, then that tendon balance is thrown off, and you can end up with a permanent swan neck deformity or boutonniere deformity if the initial injury is neglected. And that can be treated surgically. We see a bunch. People often do well, but it is a harder problem to deal with than just, you know, splinting the initial injury and treating it carefully. And sometimes, there can be even bigger things there once you get an x-ray.
Okay. Now, when you do, like, jam your finger, as you were saying, are there things that happen to the, like, ligaments that are involved that could have long-term effects?
Sure. You can have ligament injuries. There's a whole group of ligaments, the collaterals, on either side of each of these joints. So, you know, there's any combination. You can tear one of those ligaments and actually dislocate the joint. There can be an associated break of the bone or fracture.
What is it? Not to cut you off. What's the difference between, like, dislocating and jamming? Because to me, if you're jamming it, that has dislocated. Is that not accurate?
Well, again, jamming's it's sort of a general term, so I think it just...
That's just kind of what you did, to injure
yourself.
That's
the action.
Yeah, that's the action.
Versus the reaction.
And then the result of that could be, you know...
Yeah, the actual diagnosis is a little bit more specific. Maybe a dislocation, maybe a fracture pattern, maybe a central slip or collateral ligament injury, or a tendon injury, like a mallet finger, so to speak.
Yeah, that's why
I'm
on the show. You bring a specialist. I think back in my past, I usually have something that was going on. I didn't have any money in those days, so I still don't have any money after I pay my taxes.
Just tough it out, yeah.
So let's talk about trigger fingers.
Oh,
what
sure.
is that?
Yeah, yeah. So trigger fingers are really common, especially in folks who have thyroid disease or diabetes. Basically, it's sort of, if you imagine the tendon running under a train tunnel in a mountain, if the tendon is the train and you've got a tunnel in the mountain that the train's trying to run under, either the train gets bigger or the tunnel gets smaller, and that train can't run well under that mountain tunnel. Sort of like that's happening with your tendon and then the fascial sleeve or soft tissue that's over top of it. There's either a bump in the tendon or the fascial sleeve gets too tight. One way or the other, chicken or the egg, the tendon can't move easily. So there will be a kind of a catching or popping sensation, and it's pretty uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, I've got that one, too. Sometimes I wake up where I can't extend my fingers, and it starts clicking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anything to do with age?
Well, it probably has to do with my carpal tunnel, but we're not there yet. We're going to discuss that on the next segment.
We're coming down the fingertips.
We're just coming down, you know. I mean, we could spend, like, the whole show going down my arm of all the different problems.
Just you personally, yeah.
So, and what I did was, as I went into the ER and had one of my buddies just jam some steroid into that joint. I don't know if that was the right thing to do.
Maybe not in the joint, but
not in the joint,
in that area. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
What does that do?
80% of people get better with that. And it just calms down the inflammation in that area with that fascial sleeve and the tendon, allows that tendon to track less painfully and calms everything down. So often for most people, that really helps. Occasionally it recurs and then you can have another injection or so. But if that doesn't work, well, there's a very brief 10-minute procedure we can do in the office to kind of cause a permanent relief for you and just release that fascial sleeve so you don't have to deal with it anymore.
Really?
So I think the key is to come in early, you know, and, you know, being a somewhat educated physician, as soon as I recognize a problem, I'm like in 10 minutes later.
Because you, like, eat, sleep, breathe.
Yeah, okay, I'm your friendly physician hypochondriac. I admit it. But for our audience, you know, if you have an issue, rather than put it off, you know, if you're having these problems, if you come earlier, it's easier to treat early than later.
It's true. It gives you your best chance, and, you know, it's pretty painless, pretty straightforward thing to deal with. So definitely one of the easy problems you'd have to get rid of away. So there's no point in suffering with it.
I'm stoked. We'll come back in the next segment. I just thought of some other things that I had done to my hand. I forgot all the things that was wrong with my body. We come back in the next segment. I got some other questions we can share with our audience.
Okay, audience out there, stay right with us. We'll be right back.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation. Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
So welcome back to our show on Aging Redefined. And we're here with Dr. Brooke Ballard, who's an orthopedic specialist of the hand and arm. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting all my questions answered about my previous injuries when I was almost a jock.
Almost a jock. I like that.
So I've got one for you. This is, I developed a cyst, a bone cyst, actually from handball. And this cyst kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It was kind of unsightly. But the biggest thing is the skin over was thinning. And I was afraid this bone cyst was going to rupture. Mm-hmm. And I actually went in to see your partner. You weren't on the scene yet. This is years ago, Dr. Jacobson. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll take care of that. And he puts a little topical spray on it and jams a needle in there and aspirates the bone cyst. Now, talking about pain, this was major league.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me about my bone cyst from my handball.
I feel like a detective here. Yeah. It's exciting. So it sounds like you maybe had a mucus cyst.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, so that happens when you start having irritation of that distal interphalangeal joint. Now, if you look at
the very tip of your finger.
The very tip of the finger, yeah. Close to the nail bed. So if that joint gets inflamed, it has a little touch of arthritis, then a little extra of that joint fluid can bubble up like a little geyser and form a little clear cyst over top of that knuckle.
And, no kidding.
For real.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and this was my handball. I'm sure this is from when I injured my finger years ago playing handball, and this is just the result of the...
Yeah. It could show up that far down the line.
Why not?
Hard to say without, you know... Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a chronic type of thing.
Yeah, so that's the next thing.
It
recurred. Yeah. Okay. And then I went to a hand specialist, and they said they'd aspirate it one more time. Mm-hmm. But they said if it comes back a third time, they're going to go and do surgery. Mm-hmm. So it's coming back the third time, and I go in to see my trustworthy ER physician. He goes, no problem. And he again sticks in this large bore needle. And so anyway.
He's a lot of those needles handy for you, doesn't he?
He does. That needles do not bother me. That's why I would not mind shoving a needle in your finger, even though you have less than 50% blood.
Yeah, no, I'm so frightened of needles.
So that was the mucus cyst.
Yeah, that's a mucus cyst, and it's from that DIP joint.
And it's not a big
synovitis
deal.
Or early arthritis. It's not a big deal, but certainly if you want it taken care of, you can try to draw the extra fluid, but it kind of treats the symptom, not the underlying problem. So dealing with the underlying problem, you can put some, a little bit of steroid medicine or something, try that a bit, but often we do a surgery at the end of the day. Pretty brief, pretty straightforward, and you can...
I love surgery, but I was able to avoid that surgery.
That's just fine.
But
it can help you do that, too.
But if it's caused because there's inflammation in the joint, don't you need to take the inflammation away?
Well, did you stop handball?
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I stopped. Because of the knee, I stopped handball years ago.
Oh, dear.
With the knee problem.
It was either the blessing knee or the back. Carpal tunnel.
That's it for we're not quite down the carpal tunnel. Because now I want to ask about something called Dupuytren contractures.
Where are you getting all of these?
From his
I am a physician. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm a palm reader.
Yeah. So what is that, and why do people get it?
Sure. So Dupuytren's contracture, it's a genetic deal. Often comes from people who are Scottish or from Iceland or that Northern European heritage or blend. Most of us mutts in America have some bit of that in us. And it's just the fibroblasts in the palm, in the tissue layer that we call the fascia, just under the skin, thicken and contract. And
I mean, you see patients come in, they cannot extend their fingers.
Exactly.
I mean,
their fingers get drawn down into the palm. And it's great to come in early. Again, coming in earlier, we can help people get a better result, try to help them along. There's some new treatments for it nowadays, too.
Cool. And you mentioned that. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so we've got a collagenase, which is an injection. I don't know if your ER friend has it, but he's got the needles right
now. I'm going in tomorrow for him to practice on me.
So, and with that new one, we can inject it, depending on the type of cord or contracted tissue that you have. We can try to treat it without surgery. And other options, sometimes you can do a percutaneous epineurotomy or release the cord with a tiny incision in the clinic. Otherwise, there's, of course, always surgery, but...
Yeah, but the key is, again, you want to come in early.
If you come in early, we can try to help you avoid the big surgery.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, hey, it's just my hand, it'll get better. And, we only have two.
Right.
And that's the reason why we beat out the chimpanzees. And
But with that said, are there things that people can do at home to maybe prevent that, slow the process, to help it out a little bit, or...
Well, we're doing a lot of research, certainly on the underlying genetics and problem. But at this point, just maybe gently stretching and straightening your finger completely as best you can. You can set your palm on a tabletop and try to flatten it a bit. If you're not able to, with some gentle pressure, then you may want to come on and have it looked at.
Got it.
And then you were talking earlier about the Corvin's contracture.
Oh, Duckworth veins tendonitis.
Yeah.
That's pretty common. It's actually common in new moms. So
really?
Oh, okay.
Wait, what? What's going on? I need this information.
So that first dorsal compartment, the extensor compartment.
What is this? Now you're talking about your wrist?
It's by the thumb base. Yeah, it crosses the tendons that cross the wrist there can get pretty irritated, especially if you're using your thumb a lot. You know, if you think about bottle feeding and caring for a new baby, you pick the baby up with your palms.
Okay, I see that.
Right?
Could happen. Yeah, as far as using my thumbs a lot, I mean, I text a lot with my thumbs, so I think they're in good practice. But the picking up, I would imagine that would
right,
be difficult.
Right, it irritates. So same thing there. If you come in early and we do a steroid injection, that can often calm it down, maybe a brace or splint. There's always, again, about a 10-minute procedure if it's needed. But I see this all the time in my office and treat folks, and it helps them a lot because it's very painful to deal with.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Now, what would a 10-minute procedure look like if I were to come in for something like that?
Sure. So we do usually do the surgery in the operating room so that you're more comfortable and you can be awake, and we put some numbing medicine at the area at the base of the thumb, and then we open and release that fascial sleeve that's holding those tendons in a tight spot so that they have more room to slide back and forth without irritation. So there's just a few centimeters worth of a scar, maybe 2 or 3 centimeters, and then it's over.
Huh. Okay. Good to know.
Carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel. Well,
that's not the same thing though, right? What we just talked about.
No. What is carpal tunnel for our audience, and why do people get it?
Sure. So the transverse carpal ligament rides over the Roman arch of the carpus bones or the wrist bones, and it's at the base of your palm. The median nerve is one of the structures that passes in that area through that space, and a bunch of your tendons that bend your fingers do as well. So often folks will get tightness, and there will be higher pressure at that level, and with treatment, we can help it get better. It's, again, something I see every day, so-called bread and butter of hand surgery, and bracing can sometimes help, or positioning, changing what you're doing. But once it gets painful, we check a few things in the office, and then we can consider a steroid injection or a brief surgery if it's needed and you want.
Now, what's the difference, or how can somebody tell the difference between carpal tunnel and arthritis? Because isn't it just both very painful in your hands?
Well, there's a few things often with arthritis, you won't have the numbness. So with carpal tunnel syndrome, you'll feel some numbness and tingling in your fingers, especially your thumb, index, and long finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing?
You
out
have
there,
that?
Dr. Emder?
Well, I don't have it anymore because I've had bilateral carpal tunnel release.
Excellent.
So that's why, again, why you
was
have
that
me on
like
the
a
show.
Little 10 minute procedure, or were you like, I forget, were you fully in surgery?
Well, it was outpatient. And,
okay.
You know, it probably was about a. The drugs were great. I don't remember. It probably was about a 20-minute hour procedure.
Yeah, and a couple martinis.
Yeah. So, I went in at 6. I was out by noon. You know, I went for breakfast. So, I mean, it wasn't the end of the world.
Right.
It was a pretty benign procedure, from a patient standpoint. But besides, as you get advanced, besides the numbness, so what brought me in was the weakness. I was developing a weakness in my left hand, and then I had that done first. And a year later, after my fishing trip to Alaska from catching all the fish,
I remember that.
Aggravated that. And I had the carpal tunnel released last September.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And in that process, do they snip something that releases it? Or what?
That's right. We snip or release the transverse carpal ligament. That's compressing the median nerve in the carpal tunnel. So that's released. And definitely I see this all the time in the office. Very common. And it's very gratifying to help people with this problem because most everybody feels so much better afterwards.
And it's not unusual to have it bilaterally at some point.
It's not unusual. It's quite common, really. So, and again, really helpful if you come in earlier because at some point, if you wait too long, say decades, then it can become a permanent problem. Or if
and
you have a pretty severe and a disability. I mean, if you have...
Oh, I went in right away. I'm talking,
Yeah, because the nerve... you can imagine you can only hold your breath for 5 minutes before there's brain
right.
damage.
And so right after surgery, I did have still some residual numbness, which as the nerve will grow by 1 or 2 millimeters
a day.
A day.
Exactly.
So over the course of 3 months, it's back to normal.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And because you went in fairly promptly, then that was possible. So you just want to go in earlier so that the nerve will have a chance of regenerating.
So do we have time or should we hold it to the next segment?
What do you want to talk?
Well, I want to ask, there's two different approaches. There's an open approach and there's an endoscopic approach. So which one do you do?
Well, I just counsel people on their options, and then I would let the patients choose which one that they're comfortable with. Or feel
so you
better.
Do both?
Yes, yes.
And do you have a preference?
I feel comfortable with both. I've done hundreds of them both ways.
Okay.
So
then the advantage, the disadvantage of both, I suspect.
Exactly. It's just where you put the incisions is a bit different. Some people don't want an incision in the heel of their palm, so they'll choose to have the tiny incision back further in the wrist, and then a counter incision up closer to the ring finger base.
Okay. So personally,
what did you do, Dr. Emder?
I had it open. I personally like scars because it's very manly.
Such
you're a
boy.
Yeah, I'm a guy thing.
That's cool.
But
Reed
Abrams at UCSD, along my lifeline, no scars.
That's
he's a star.
Right.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I told him I wish I had a third hand to operate on. He did such a good job.
Yeah. So. You look like a stud. No one would ever know you went under
I would have
into battle.
Bigger scar.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess we have to break.
We do. So audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back with Dr. Ballard to discuss more of our hand issues.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation. Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
Okay, welcome back to our show on Aging Redefined, sponsored by Alvarado Hospital this week. And we have Dr. Brooke Ballard, who's an orthopedic surgeon, with advanced training and problems with the shoulder, right distal to your finger. And we've been talking about the jammed fingers and Dupuytren's contractures.
Working our way up the arm.
And
down
so
the hand, up the arm.
So we're now at the wrist. Let's talk about wrist fractures. Do you see a lot of them, and who do you see them in?
I see a lot of them. It's amazing how many different ways patients come in. You know, horseback riders that fall off, snowboarders.
So I have broken my wrists like 3 or 4 times each. Like, I know that's a bit crazy, but I think, and this happened when I was younger, but it always had to do with, you know, falling on like roller skates or, you know, ice skates or whatever. But when you fall, like falling forward on your hands, and then they, right? So I've gotten better at that. Now I just like walk around with the sore bum all the time. But, and clumsiness has a lot to do with that. But do you, I guess it's easier once you fracture it. I was always told like, oh, well, when you break it and, you know, it heals stronger than it was before. But in
and
my
you were
experience,
young when this happened, huh?
Yeah. I mean, probably the last time I did it, I was 13.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. It's a little bit easier even for an entire year. Bone is remodeling after a fracture, even when you're nice and young and healthy. So,
so it's not as strong after the fracture as it was before.
Right. And, you know, we don't keep kids especially back from playing basketball for an entire year. You know, that's a little unreasonable, but just for a couple months maybe until the x-rays show the bone's healed and then let people loosen. But certainly if you fall with a fair amount of force, go snowboarding or skiing or something, then it may happen within that year especially. We sometimes can see that same fracture pattern just reoccur. But certainly if this is something that's happened more than once and it's not something within a year, then you might want to consider a medical workup such as checking vitamin D levels, or if you're maybe 50 years old or older, considering a DEXA scan to check for osteoporosis.
Huh. Or calcium. Does that have anything to do with it?
Well, that's when you're checking for osteoporosis. That's what you're looking at, is how much calcium is in your bone.
Yeah, just checking your bone metabolism and health.
Okay.
I mean, I have a physician friend who was like running to get a ball from his daughter and fractured his ankle, you know, and this physician was Asian, and that really should not have happened. I'm sure he's osteoporotic and, should check your calcium levels and get a bone scan, and a vitamin D level would be very important. You know, we love vitamin D here.
Yeah, and certainly if you're in that realm of possibility of osteoporosis, there are studies that show that after you have a wrist fracture, you're at a much higher risk for having a hip fracture within a year or two. So I try to catch all my patients that have wrist fractures and encourage them to be worked up and started on an osteoporosis medicine.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would say that I'm more fragile, perhaps, because of this experience.
Well, this as a child, and you're young to have osteoporosis.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm not at a point where I would be taking like osteoporosis medicine, but besides taking actual vitamin D tablets or calcium tablets, are there other things that I should be doing make sure I've got strong bones?
Sure. Most women, you know, a multivitamin a day or a prenatal vitamin a day.
I've got those down. Yeah.
There you go. Those contain vitamin D and calcium. After a certain point, if you do have osteoporosis, then there's certain medicines that can maintain your bone strength at a certain level, help with your bone metabolism, depending on what needs to be tinkered with. Otherwise, exercise is always great. That definitely strengthens the bones in your legs and lower extremities.
How does that? I know it would strengthen the muscles, but
sure.
I'm curious.
Well, the cells that make bone, the osteoblasts, they respond to mechanical compression. They have mechanoreceptors, so they do respond to multiple loading. So
really?
If you think, yeah, and
that's
it makes
fascinating
sense.
To me. No one's talked about that as far as exercise goes.
Well, and that's what happens with the astronauts. That's why they get carried out of the space shuttle after their flight, because after being out of gravity and not having that pressure on their bones, they're mushy.
Which brings me to my wife and her power plate. She goes on a power plate for the osteoporosis, and her DEXA scan has improved over the last year based on vitamin D and on a power plate, which was developed by a Russian for their astronaut program.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so,
that's great.
So you can come over and borrow my power plate.
Well, we have talked about this power plate before.
It's awesome.
Have you used it? Like, you don't use it regularly, right? The whole point in you getting it was...
Okay, so I do use it. It's a platform which vibrates at high speed in four different directions. And you do a series of exercises on the on this vibrating platform. There's several companies that make it, and one of the big advantages is that it does appear to be a treatment for osteoporosis. But it's also stimulates your muscles because they're vibrating at a high rate of speed.
Helps your balance too.
Yeah. It's tremendous for balance. So you should for our audience, go online and look up the power plate technology. It's amazing technology.
But if you have a joint replacement, you may not want to vibrate.
Well, I'll be honest with you, that's one of the reasons I'm avoiding. One of the reasons I'm avoiding my total knee replacement because I realized, you know, it would loosen the joint. So that is in the back of my mind. Yeah. But there are power plate gyms in San Diego where you could go try out the power plate, and they go put you through an exercise program. It's very interesting technology.
Are you doing handstands on this thing?
No, you're doing balance on one leg. The tree pose.
Yeah, yoga.
Tree pose, yeah.
Where's San Diego?
Yeah, and they're doing reverse warrior. And you're getting the vibration at the same time. And you're doing stretching exercises.
It is about like 2 feet by 2 feet, right? I mean, you're just, it's a small
little
thing.
No chaturanga.
Okay, well, I have the home model, which is probably about 3 feet wide.
But
The ones in the gym are probably about 4 or 5 feet.
Well, maybe someday our homes, you know, will just be floored with this stuff. You'll just walk around your home. So anyway,
we're kind of getting off the subject, but it is a treatment out there for the osteoporosis.
Right.
So I guess let's talk about the shoulder injuries and arthritis of the shoulder. I'm sure you see a lot of that.
Yeah, shoulder arthritis. Another thing that I see very often, we do steroid injections for that, help people. And then at a certain point, if it's too painful and they're miserable, then it's great to be able to help them with a joint replacement. And there's a couple different kinds depending on what pattern of arthritis they have.
That's a major surgery, though. I mean, I've had friends that have had that surgery.
It's a joint replacement.
Yeah.
But fortunately, unlike the hip and knee, at least you don't have to walk on it right away.
Right.
But isn't it it moves in multiple directions where like a knee doesn't really do that, right? Knee moves back and forth and...
Right.
It's a complex joint.
Yeah, exactly. There are more degrees of motion in the shoulder joint than in a normal knee or knee joint. The shoulder's a bit similar in a way to the ball and socket architecture of the hip joint, but the hip's even a bit more constrained than the shoulder. But the shoulder's more like a golf ball on a golf tee, so you can imagine how much motion you can get there.
You can come back from that surgery and have a functional motion of the shoulder.
Yes. Yeah.
Could you be like a professional baseball player, or are those days done?
I think once you have shoulder arthritis, you're going to be out of baseball.
Okay, just checking. Wondering what my future holds now.
Baseball pitchers, they get this Tommy John surgery. What is that?
Sure, one of the ligaments in the elbow can get stretched or lengthened. And so if people have incompetence of that ligament, it can be tightened up or reconstructed with a graft to regain that stability so that they can throw or pitch again. It's most helpful for pitchers or folks who are playing throwing sports, though.
Huh.
I mean, does that end a pitcher's career once they get that surgery? Or?
Actually, to the contrary. There are some folks who are trying to get that surgery.
Ahead of time?
In the teen years, because it can actually improve performance to have it tightened up there.
Wow. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So then as an orthopedic surgeon, you're not just working with bones, obviously. You're working with like the ligaments and the tendons and all of that stuff.
Right. All our training or my training is in the whole anatomy of that upper extremity. So bones, joints, ligaments, soft tissues, nerves, all of the things.
So you deal with a lot of sports injuries, I gather.
Well, I do. I have a fair number of sporting people in my practice.
Okay. That's way cool.
Baseball players, basketball players, sometimes the SDSU athletes or students will come because we're nearby that campus. Yep.
Absolutely.
Go Aztecs.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Gosh, there's so much about the hand and the shoulder that I have no idea. I just know this hurts. How do we fix it?
Right.
So it's handy to have somebody around. And I love Alvarado Hospital. It's really cool because we do have so many amazing surgeons and doctors right here in our backyard that we don't really realize we have at our fingertips.
So for our audience that has a injury, God forbid, to their upper extremity, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. So our office phone number is 619-286-9480. That's 286-9480. And the office website is alvaradoortho.com. And you could always just Google and call Alvarado Hospital, and they can give you our phone numbers as well, if you don't have a pen and paper handy.
Perfect.
And the key is, you know, God forbid, if you do have an injury, you know, come in sooner rather than later, because you get better results the quicker you treat it, Kendra.
Well, I called. Technically, I had a doctor look at it,
okay.
Right?
Oh, was that me?
Photo.
Yeah.
Oh, I sent
you a picture.
It's hard to do medicine by phone.
Yeah, I was on a mat at the time. But
telemedicine.
And I'm Dr. Larry Emder. I could be reached in my office at 619-286-8803. I'm also on the web at drlarryemder.com.
Perfect. And for our audience out there that wants to get a hold of us for the show, we do have a Facebook page. We are Aging Redefined Radio. And we have a podcast as well. So if you missed any of this show and want to tune in at your convenience, or perhaps any of our other shows, you can download that through the podcast app on your iPhone or Android. Thanks so much for tuning in. And Dr. Brooke Ballard, thank you for being here and giving our audience a heads up on what to expect in their hands.
Thank you.
So thanks so much. We will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.